Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. This
Woohoo!
is our Monday evening Hoops HD report, recording Monday, February 22nd. I'm your host over here, Chad Sherwood.
I
Joined
am
to my
David
side
Griggs right
by,
over here.
he's David Grace. Below me, we got Joby Ford sent to his side. We have John Tytel.
Hey, why do I gotta be up here next to Chad? Can't you move me down below? I
No.
don't like it up here.
I'll tell you what, I'll just take you off the screen entirely. How's
Why? There's a few going on.
This is our Hoops HD report, where we go over anything and everything going on among the major conferences, and news and notes about all of college basketball. And we do have a lot to get to. There were a lot of games and a lot of, maybe not upsets, but a lot of bubble teams that don't like winning games this week. Before we get into everything, John, you're our bracketology, your bracket guessing expert. I just it seems like this happens every year. Am I wrong that we get to the end of February and all the bubble teams start getting upset by non-NCAA tournament teams? Is it a pattern like around this time of year?
I don't know that it happens every year, but this is certainly not a unusual event. There's been so many years in the past where, I mean, these are the reason they're bubble teams is because they're not capable of beating the top 25 on a regular basis. So when you have a team that runs into a buzzsaw or even a regular saw, you can stub your toe and ruin your whole season.
Yeah, I mean, would you see? Let's see, teams like Ole Miss losing this week and St. John's losing. I mean, it's
To
just.
DePaul, and who was it that beat? I was really big on Wichita. They went down the other day, didn't they?
They did.
No.
No, they didn't. Okay,
No,
did
not.
SMU?
No, Wichita helped
I
put
thought
a
Wichita
team
got a great.
Okay,
who may
Wichita
not
won.
be a protected
Well,
seed much longer if they continue on this
okay, I was really big on someone that lost to a really bad. Maybe it was
Dave.
a.
David, you really need to know
We
what
need
teams
to
you're talking
start
about.
over.
Yeah,
Yeah. Like,
and Wichita is now alone in first place.
Hey, don't t say I don't know what I'm talking about. Greg Marshall is doing a great job.
I'll tell you what, we're going to go. I'm going to go ahead and pull up the screen here. And what I like to do, been doing a lot of them this recently. I would like to start the show off with another one of our blind resumes that we always have a lot of fun with these. And it may not be as hard as some of the other ones we've done in the past to figure out who these teams are, but I've got two teams up here. And John, let me start with you, and then I'll ask all three of you. Which of these two resumes, left or right, do you like better? Just then, what we've got
Barf.
here on the screen, and neither one is good. I'm not going to tell you neither one is very good, but we're looking at it. Which of these two teams do you like a little better
Clear
right now?
opinion, though.
So let's see here. The OAR is a coin flip. The JNG is says t team on the left. Non-conference strength of schedule says team on the right. I'll give Joby the edge with JNG, and I'll go with the team on the left.
Team on the left, what you see on the left there is a lot less on the loss column, but on the team on the right, especially with the top half of tier two wins, you got a lot more of those tier one, tier two stuff. Joby, you agree with him?
Yeah, I'm
Left, you
with
go
John,
left.
and I'm biased. He definitely picked the JNG. I don't know what these teams are, but I like the team on the left a lot more. There aren't a lot of bad losses. The one loss, the one tier two loss, is 32 at home, so they clearly are losing to a top end, NCAA caliber team most likely. And two beautiful road wins. Yeah, there's not a lot of ton, but also 11-8, 14-4. That means a lot when the eight is comprised of two just awful losses
I'm a little
on
surprised.
top.
I thought at least one of you would go for the team on the right just because of the volume of those wins at the top two quadrants. David, would you go right or you could go left also?
I would go left because of where it tops out, which is a little. I seem to be hung up on where resumes top out this year, and I don't know if it's because there's fewer games, so there's just less to look at. I'm going down a rabbit hole as to why I seem to be evaluating teams differently this year. But last year, all I would have probably said the one on the right, but this year they've got two really good road wins, two road wins that are better than the best road win from the team on the right. I kind of like the one on the left.
Okay, you kind of surprised me. I have the one on the left because I thought I might be able to trick somebody to go for the team on the right here, especially with that win over number nine by 1 point this past weekend. I think,
Yeah.
Joe, you just figured out who the team on the right was. We got on the left, we got Colorado State, a bubble team by everybody's standards. Duke on the right there, a team that has been off the board for a long time, but might be creeping back in there. Tytel, especially with the win they just came off tonight, dominating Syracuse at home, just adding to those top two quadrant wins and the huge win over Virginia. Are we close? Is Duke close to your bubble now?
You're getting very close. Obviously, if you can beat Virginia, even if it's at home by 1 point any year, even this year, you're certainly in the conversation. And the fact remains, the three remaining games all give them a chance to get a bunch of tier one, tier two good stuff. Unlike Colorado State, who should probably go down unless they beat Air Force by 50.
Timeout.
Those are front range games. Those are front range games.
Those are major rivalry games.
Watch into that one.
Let's actually start the game, the show.
I was going to make a joke about how Colorado State has to deal with a big rivalry that Duke doesn't know anything about, but that was, anyway.
Let's start things off though with the ACC. And Joby, your Hoos did fall in that game Saturday at Duke against this now red hot Duke team. Your thoughts on Duke, actually?
Well, Duke, yeah. I mean, I'll be honest. Yeah, you have a chance that Virginia failed at a very important lesson. If you have Dracula on the, in the crypt and you're holding the silver, the silver stake, put it in the heart because he will come back. And I have a feeling, especially with the Syracuse game tonight, Duke is rising up. You saw that remaining schedule on that profile that Chad had, Louisville at Georgia Tech, at North Carolina. Those are all going to be, if you get them, tier one wins, if you get them, or Louisville a tier two, but a strong tier two win. Duke's profile would probably, if they were to sweep that, and that's still a huge if, they would be someone to look at. And how would the committee look at this? Jim Boeheim got a lot of criticism, if you're paying attention to the blogs and the Twitter, for what he said about Jalen Johnson, which I didn't think it was really that off. He said Duke is playing their best ball in the last two games since he's not been there. They've beaten NC State. They look at what they've done. They beat NC State. They beat Wake by 24 at Wake. I remind you, Florida State almost lost at Wake at the previous game at Wake. Beat a top 10 team. And then tonight, a fellow bubble team, as Lenardi said, to quote Lenardi, it was a play-in game. It was a play-out game. The loser's out. Well, Syracuse is out, not Duke, and they did it in style. That 85-71 score is actually misleading because Duke was up at points by 20 to 30 points at points. So Duke has found something. Hurt can make any shot. He's completely on fire. And Stewart is a nice little addition. He's the leading ACC freshman scorer, which I did not know because it's been so quiet. Not Jalen Johnson, Stewart. And so Duke, you got to watch them. They're not in the tournament right now, but I do agree with a lot of people's estimates that they're in that, either that next four out, not the first four out, but in the next four out. And with their schedule, they clearly have a pathway. They do have a pathway to the tournament, and they control their own destiny on that pathway, which was not, I didn't think would be the case the rest of this
year. Yeah. And Chad, if I could jump in here real quick, Duke is one of a few teams. And normally by the time you get to the last week in February, we're about 26, 27 games in a normal year. And you kind of are who you are at that point. That's not to say teams don't get hot in the conference tournament or pick up big wins, but it seems like this year Duke is one of a few other teams that are just playing like top 25 caliber teams all of a sudden when they hadn't at any other point. And how do you evaluate a team like that if you're on the committee, whereas most of the time you might have one or two, if that. This year there's Duke, there's North Carolina, I would argue Kentucky, although they're so far out it may not matter. But teams that have not looked good all year have started to look good this last week or so.
Yeah, and that's, last 10 games or last 12 games used to be actually on the team sheet, they did remove it from the team sheet, but I think recency bias still plays in just to the, just because the team is red hot. And I think I'm on the committee, and I've got a team on a 5-game win streak and a team on a 5-game losing streak, and I've got to choose one of them. I'm probably choosing the 5-game win streak if everything else was dead even. But John, let me go over to you. According to my notes here, you wanted to talk about Syracuse. Would you like to talk about a different team, or you still want to talk about after tonight?
I'm with them. Just because they let me down doesn't mean I can ditch them. To quickly respond to David's point, the reason Duke, Kentucky, and Carolina, I think, are doing good in February It's because, uncoincidentally, they have more McDonald's All-Americans than any other team in America. So when you finally get these young guys up to speed, it just kind of clicks. Anywho, moving on to the Q's. Certainly a bad loss tonight at Duke, coming off of great wins at Notre Dame and at BC, and home wins over Notre Dame and BC the past few Saturdays. They have Georgia Tech on the road next Saturday. I remember they used to just be a team that could not make a free throw back in the 80s and 90s. 80% from the line is top 10 in the country this year. And they do get some praise. 52 consecutive winning seasons dating back to 1970, the longest active streak in D1. And it's a lot due to Buddy Boeheim, the coach's son, during the three-game winning streak. 19 points a game, 10 of 18 behind the arc, and two steals a game. Ooh. Kept it going tonight with 21 points, 5 of 9 from three-point land, and another two steals.
We never did reflect on what a solid recruiting job Boeheim did to land him.
But he didn't get his other son, so, you know, that was kind of...
Yeah. Let's pull up Chad's favorite team here.
David, I want to ask you about another team here in the ACC. But we're not going to... They won't even want
to... It doesn't even want us to talk about them.
David, Louisville. I don't think you don't think they're even an NCAA tournament team at the moment, from what I've heard you
say. No, it's just... I could make a case if I really had to. You know, Virginia Tech and Seton Hall are decent road teams, albeit not very good road teams. So to get those two wins is at least decent. And Pitt at home has been okay. But that in and of itself
Georgia
just
Tech
isn't.
Georgia Tech and Duke now also. The Duke win.
Georgia Tech's not a very good road team, and neither really is Duke. I mean, although Duke is playing better now, but like Kentucky is – like there just isn't anything there. And what have they done when they've played tournament teams? They've lost by millions of points.
4 points to Clemson.
45 to North Carolina.
Well, how about North Carolina did have maybe the win of the week.
Even more so
than the Duke over Virginia, just because of the score of that game.
We laugh. And, you know, I mentioned that the Duke Syracuse game was worse than it looked. Believe it or not, the 99-54 game between Louisville and North Carolina was worse than it looked, because North Carolina called off the dogs up 50. I mean, it's like crazy. But North Carolina is the one quick note I'll say is the best thing that North Carolina did is what we mocked them for last week, which was going out and playing Northeastern, because it allowed them to get just a complete release of their rotation right. And Roy Williams said so. It got their team stable. It got them confidence, seeing the ball go through the basket. And then they're hitting Louisville coming off a pause as well, which was certainly a factor here. And we'll see how Louisville goes forward. And Louisville's got some really tough games with Duke and Virginia in the horizon. But North Carolina is a tournament team. They're not a protected seed, but they are a tournament team. And with their size, they're going to give trouble to a lot of folks. But if they're in a tight game, which 99-54 is not, they at one point in that Louisville game, I think, were 2 of 13 from the free throw line. So,
imagine if they shot a normal percentage, they may have won by 60.
Their big guys cannot hit free throws. As much as I love how Bay Cotton plays, it will be very interesting to see them. I'd see them losing a close game in the NCAA tournament if it comes down.
I've got the upcoming schedule. And interesting, we have another non-conference game that North Carolina was able to add midweek. They are hosting Marquette midweek here. Not a win that's going to particularly help them, but I think it's a decent opponent. You also have a few other interesting games, assuming we get these games in here, including Florida State at North Carolina, Louisville at Duke coming up this week as well.
Yeah, in about Louisville, the consensus among the bracket guessing community is that Louisville's inside the bubble, and while they're not right all of the time, they're right a lot of the time. Has Louisville done enough to get in if they hold serve? And by hold serve, I mean beat the non-tournament teams, but not beat any of the tournament teams the rest of the way.
What do you call Duke and Cameron? I mean, that's might be a very.
I would say that would be a loss. That would be a big win. That would not be holding serve.
Right, and so I think Louisville is exactly where you think they probably are, David. I actually think Louisville has slipped to maybe a 10 seed. However,
I don't even think they're that good.
Yeah, but I think they're about a 10 seed. But that's the committee waiting. Okay, what do you do? You're off pause. We might give you a little pass going to Chapel Hill because of that unique factor. But then if they go and Notre Dame beats them, you know, they need to beat Notre Dame. And they're
Notre Dame at home.
They are out and having to claw their way back in. And then all of a sudden they have to beat Virginia at home in the Yum Center to close out the year. And that's something you don't want to do if you're Louisville, given your record against Virginia recently.
Okay. Before we have to change the show name to LouisvilleHD.com, let's move on to another team here. Because David, I think we could debate this for the next 2 weeks, and we'll see. I think that hopefully it'll come to fruition. But I want to move on to the Big Ten now, conference now with three teams in the top five in the nation.
Yes.
Michigan, after the huge Michigan-Ohio State game, David, we saw Michigan come up with the five-point win in one of the better – normally when you get a game built up like this, it ends up disappointing, and it really didn't disappoint at all.
No, not at all. It was just a well-played game. It was nip and tuck. It was back and forth. There were big momentum shifts. There were big plays made, and while it didn't come down to the wire, with 90 seconds left, it was still up in the air.
The other couple other games to note, but let's start with Iowa as well. John, huge win at Wisconsin for the Hawkeyes. Have they fixed what was going wrong?
Clearly, huge a month for them so far. Past 2 weeks, beat Rutgers, Michigan State, Wisconsin, and Penn State, in large part due to the 3-point shooting, 40% behind the arc, top five in the nation. They do have the hardest road trip of any team all year this week, at Michigan Thursday, at Ohio State Sunday. Good luck. Congrats to Luca Garza, not only for his season, but for his career. He became the all-time leading scorer in school history last weekend. But the X factor for this team, sophomore guard CJ Frederick, 16-3 when he plays, 1-3 when he does not. I have them as a 2 seed right now.
I don't like them that much, but if it's any indication to how well I was playing, I am now a believer in Iowa. I've been dogging them for most of the year, but no, they're legit protected seed. I mean, they just obliterated Whiskey.
They did. Another team.
But they really coulda, shoulda with Penn State at home. And this is not a team that you want to be placing a ton of faith in going forward, because they are primed to be one of those protected seeds that does not make the second weekend. And I'm very serious when I state that. Yeah.
Joby, I'm going to pull up Maryland's profile. I hate to do it because there was one. It was my team.
I know.
It was one of their big wins. But a 3-0 week, a 3-0
against a tournament team.
This Maryland team a week ago was 10-10 against Division One, and we said this. We were sick of the idea of putting a 10-10 team in. They get Nebraska twice at home. I think the Big Ten gave them a gift by scheduling that, but they got those two wins. Now they win at Rutgers. Up to 13-10 against D1, solidly in the field now.
Yeah, well, not even just solidly in the field. It's exactly, and I've quoted Rocco on this, and so I'll give him credit for saying it first, because he was accurate, and he is accurate. Maryland is not going to be in the play-in game, guys. They are either going to be an 8 seed, the J&G has them as a 7 right now, an 8 seed or out. And the thing is, David, you were saying, hey, it's not fair. What if they had a bunch of bye games? Well, they got Nebraska twice. There's your bye games. Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
They're your bye games.
Yeah.
And they got them. And then on top of that,
you would have never said that when Tim Miles was there. But now that he's gone.
The beautiful wins at Rutgers. Beautiful win at Rutgers. When you combine all of that, Maryland is right now safely in the field. They need to take care of business. That schedule is not daunting. They should win all three of those games, though Michigan State is playing a lot better, as the team on the right found out. But the Maryland is a tournament team right now. They deserve it. But, man, you fall back to 500. I'm going to be screaming to keep them out, just as I was a week ago.
Well, I'll tell you what. I think.
Well, so will I if they lose all three of those. Good grief.
David, I want to ask you about the team on the right, who is maybe the team that's in danger here in the Big Ten. The Indiana Hoosiers, down to 12-10 overall, and with an easy schedule at all left with these last four games.
No, three of those four are really rough.
I think the road game Michigan State's pretty rough, too. Still a road game.
And I don't think they'll lose all four of them, but I could see them losing three out of four.
That puts them at 500.
Which puts them right at 500, and in a normal year, I would say no way. But the one thing that they have on their resume that drags it down that Maryland didn't have, and I was making this point, is the Northwestern and Michigan State losses at home, whereas Maryland was 500 against essentially 90% of their schedule was teams that were not just in the field but in the top half of the bracket probably. Indiana's isn't like I mean, they to have two losses like that. Maryland still does not have a loss to a team that, other than the one at Indiana, I suppose, who we're talking about now, that doesn't have a very good chance of wearing white, whereas Indiana has one, two, three, two. Well, it's not too bad. I don't like it as much as Maryland's.
John, you're our selection committee guest expert. Let's assume here Indiana goes 1-3, and the one is not the Michigan game. Let's say it's the Michigan State game or even the Rutgers or the Purdue game. They go 1-3. They win a Big Ten tournament game, but they lose their second. Now you're at 14-14 Indiana team with a sweep of Iowa. In or out?
On life support. That is a dangerous predicament, and it better be a heck of a team they beat in the Big Ten tourney, because that could make the difference between in and out.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's real dangerous at that 14-14, and which means they got to win at least two of these four, and that's a tough task there.
Hey, Chad, J&G has them as the first team out as we sit.
Yeah.
So that really puts the pressure on.
Let's take a quick look at the upcoming alleged schedule. We always say alleged schedules in the Big Ten, because who knows what's going to be on or off. But lots of important games here, including the Indiana-Rutgers game, the Iowa-Michigan, and the Iowa-Ohio State games. We got Michigan and Indiana. We got Illinois-Wisconsin, Michigan State-Maryland, Penn State-Nebraska. David, I know you're circling that one.
Yes, I am circling that, and I'm putting the parental lock on, so I do not even by accident turn it on.
Let's jump over to the Big 12 conference, though. And John, let me bring you back in here. Okay,
real quick Big Ten question, real quick, just yes or no to the three of you. Is Illinois good enough to play their way up to the one line?
Yeah, they need help. They do need help from Ohio.
I don't think they do, because they're going to get a shot at one or both of them in the Big Ten tournament.
They need help from Ohio State and Michigan. They can't just play I guess you're right. They win the Big Ten title, they're without a doubt.
Well, the coaches voted them higher than Ohio State today. If you
This is an Illinois team. Their resume. Yeah,
spotting rules of pollsters. Oh, Team A lost, so we must drop them over Team B. It didn't matter if Illinois was there or if North Texas was
there. I'm with you on that, Joby. I would have it as it is now, 3-4-5. But this Illinois team is on fire right now. And, like, their resume isn't there yet, but they're good enough to where they could beat Michigan or Ohio State, or even both in the conference tournament.
And DeSumo might be passing Garza for player of the year.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you, Chad. Let's move on.
Let's move on to the Big 12. And before we get to the what's going on with Kansas and West Virginia, John, I want to start a little with Oklahoma here, who is now sitting there, I guess, second place, although you don't know with the way that we just saw the Horizon League just randomly pick teams out of a hat to do their seeding for the conference tournament. But now up to, according to the coaches and the AP, should be a two seed. Are you there on Oklahoma at this point?
I am. I don't have the AP calculus credits to figure out the conference standings, but I can tell you for sure that the Sooners are for real. They did lose at Texas Tech Open this month. They've won every single Saturday since then, includes a sweep of Iowa State and a double overtime win over West Virginia. They have an easy trip to Kansas State this week, and then series of the year, Bedlam home and home next weekend. Can't wait for that. Ooh. Great interior defense, Woo-hoo. Only allowing 44% from two-point range, top 15 in the nation. And it's not – I thought it was going to be Brady Manick's team this year. It's senior guard Austin Reeves' team. He missed the Texas Tech game because he was in COVID protocol. He's been amazing during the three-game winning streak, 21 points a game, 21 of 23 at the free throw line, 7 boards, 5 assists a game. I have them as a 3 seed.
John, they won the Alabama game without him. I mean, that's amazing. Actually the game, because it's outside the Big 12 bubble, that I look at their profile and say, wow.
I'll tell you
something. You go, wow.
one note on the Big 12, there is another week of the Big 12 season before the conference tournament. They should hopefully by, you know, maybe the next few days here, we will find out who they're going to be scheduling. They kind of left a week open at the end for makeup games, which there's tons of makeup games that they can throw in there. So we will have additional games added in here, the Big 12. But Joby, let's talk about Kansas here. The team, the now five in a row, you know, this team was heading down towards about the seven line. I got the back as a, right there on the four line, I think.
At this point, I agree with you. I think they're on the four line. I think they've, thank you to the SEC teams for not taking advantage of their placement by the committee on the reveal. Kansas is one of those teams, I think Florida State being the other, that has taken those SEC schools' spot, and deservedly so. They already had the hefty wins, but they were just piling up loss after loss, and they were tier one losses. But it's like, hey, you got to win some games, guys. Yeah, they listened. They have. The last two games on their schedule, at least as they sit, you know, we'll see how the whole Baylor COVID, you know, situation goes. Very interesting. Should be a lot of fun. Kansas has earned their spot. They could slip back down just because the Big 12 is so tough. But I feel like the stabilization has allowed a lot of people to go, okay, okay, Kansas, very solid team. I think they're probably on the four line to stay, but we shall see.
David, the other huge win this week was West Virginia coming back from 3 million points down to win at Texas.
Just what a fun game that was to watch. I mean, the style of play that both of them play, it's fun when they get together. But, yeah, really impressive to be down to a team like that and to be able to force the comeback with all the momentum going against you. So West Virginia's ceiling, while not as high as Baylor's perhaps, is pretty damn high. I mean, this is a team, and look at that profile, at Texas Tech, at Texas, at Oklahoma State. I mean, there is a lot of good wins on there, and this is a team that they're a protected seed. They're a second weekend team. They're really, really good.
I think West Virginia has as good an argument as Oklahoma when you're talking about Big 12 teams pushing each other aside, trying to get to that two line.
Yeah.
Yeah, what great profile. I mean, and Texas still has a very strong profile as well. Texas Tech still has a strong profile, even though they're 6-6 in the conference. And Oklahoma State tournament team, but probably not in that battle for one of the top for a top four seed. But here's the upcoming schedule. I just double checked. As of right now, Baylor is set to go tomorrow. It's supposed to be playing tomorrow night against Iowa State and back on the court. So hopefully we will see the Bears this week.
They need that warm-up, but Thursday. Wow.
West Virginia. At Baylor. You see they're cramming these games in here. We got Kansas at Texas allegedly coming up tomorrow night. We've got Bedlam. We got Texas Tech. We got Bedlam again.
Yes. I mean, how about that? Bedlam 2 days. Monday. Yeah.
Plain and simple.
So this should be, if we actually get all these games in, especially, this should be a great week of Big 12 hoops. As we record this right now, Texas Tech and Oklahoma are playing Texas Tech and Oklahoma State are playing in a tie game early late in the first half as we record this.
I've got that game on and another one that's making my eyes bleed.
Let's jump over to the Big East Conference. How about that? Where I don't know that we saw anything in terms of big wins this week. I think what we saw was big losses this week. And maybe we should start with one of them being Seton Hall going down on Saturday to Georgetown, a team that you told us a couple weeks ago that was just awful, right?
Still are mostly awful. I still can't believe that I'm mentioning them this year. But when you're 0-5 from mid-December to mid-January, I throw in the towel, and then somehow they've won 4 of 6 since getting back on the court. They have 4 games left in the regular season. 2 of them are UConn, so they could ruin the Husky season somehow. But it's been a nice mix. Northwestern State transfer Trudier Belay didn't score more than 13 points in any of his first 10 games this year. In the past 4 wins, he's not scored less than 16 a game. I have them as a 23 seed right now.
So that's what, about a 12 seed in the NIT?
That's the CBI.
That's beyond the CBI, maybe. David, Xavier, they lose to St. John's team, who not even that good of a loss, because St. John's turns around and loses a home game to DePaul. They struggled with Butler, squarely on the bubble for the Xavier team, especially with the lower number of games.
Right. And to our good friend, John Stalica, who, you know, this is his alma mater. He loves them You know, and we love him, so we want him to be happy. I'm inclined to think that this is a Xavier team that had one really good game, and that one really good game was uncharacteristic, and what they really are is a team that sweats out Toledo and Cincinnati and Providence, and these teams, like when you look at their wins, they're close wins against non-tournament teams.
Eastern Kentucky, I'm going down to quad four here, by the way.
Yeah. So I don't think that while they did it on one day, and man, they looked fantastic when they did it that one day, it was one day. I don't really have any confidence in them to finish strong. You know, if you look at their last four games, three of them are against non-tournament teams, and it wouldn't shock me if they lost one of them or even more than one.
If they don't,
there's that red hot Georgetown team.
Yeah.
If they don't beat Creighton, which I think is a safe thing, even though it's in Cincinnati, if they don't beat Creighton, they cannot lose one of those road games. They cannot, even Providence, they cannot do it because they are right on the razor's edge. And then the reality starts to come in for David's point of, yeah, might have just had one good day.
Yeah.
Well, Jacoby maybe just had two good days on the right there. Maybe it's just one. Yeah.
I don't know how good the Big East is. I'm just going to lay it out there. Yeah. I don't know how good this conference is. Connecticut is in a very similar spot. Poor George, all these people having to play in Washington, D.C., you know, with their tournament hopes on the line. Connecticut is probably on the right side of the bubble right now. But both of them and Seton Hall, we'll get to them, you know, after their loss. But it seems like everybody in the Big East is just stumbling along. And I'm not so sure that the conference is that deep as it were. I mean, come on. DePaul stinks as winning games. I mean, that's enough. So
that's a good point. Yeah,
Connecticut just.
And, I guess with UConn, you've got the kind of the asterisk with some of the losses because of Book Knight being out. He's back again. Right. They lost to Villanova this weekend, they did play well in that game with him in there. So I like their chances in these last four games a lot more than some of these other teams.
But yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, and they're a better team than Xavier.
John, let me just ask you real quick. Big East, how many bids is? I mean, we've got Villanova, Creighton. I mean, are we looking at a three bid league potentially here? Just or can we get more than two of these other teams in? More than one of these other teams in?
I'll take the over if you set the line at three. But certainly, like, they all need to do something. They can't just like stand pat and lose to Villanova and Creighton and beat everybody else. But I think Connecticut situation is a bit unique in terms of with Book Knight, they're like an 8 seed good, and without him, they're way off the bubble.
Let's take a quick look at the upcoming schedule here. A lot of important games, maybe not head-to-head against each other, but teams that need wins. I mean, well, St. John's is at Villanova. That's not going to help them, assume they lose that. Right. Xavier with that Creighton game. But you got Seton Hall has to win at Butler, assuming those games are a go. You've got you know, Xavier has to win at Providence. These are important games, even though they're not head-to-head among the top teams. And, of course, the Marquette-North Carolina game we mentioned.
Georgetown has to win to call to keep that 23 seed.
Let's jump over to the SEC here and talk about, Tytel, the hottest team in the SEC. Is it Kentucky?
It is, strangely enough. I mean, 2 weeks ago, they should have beaten Arkansas. They had a devastating one-point home loss. And I thought this was another team we could throw the towel in on the towel. But three wins in a row, a 15-point road win at Tennessee last Saturday. Amazing. They do get the entire week off, and they host Florida Saturday. I want to talk about Isaiah Jackson, the freshman big man. First 17 games, he only made five free throws once in 17 games. The last three games of the winning streak, he's made at least five in every single game. He's getting to the line and making them when he gets there. He's also adding eight boards a game and two blocks a game. This team is going in the right direction. I would not want to play them next month.
We'll throw a little bit out there. The win over Vanderbilt on the road, bad Vanderbilt team, only a four-point win. They really struggled in that game. So I think they showed a little bit, but they still have some problems, though.
If you haven't seen – you know, coaches aren't shaking hands this year. They're just sort of waving. That the exchange between Calipari and Stackhouse at the end of the game, I laugh at it even now. It was great.
Joby, are we now all in on this LSU team after what they did? Not the fact they beat Auburn, but 104 points.
Yeah, LSU, the problem we had with LSU 3 or 4 weeks ago was they just hadn't played anyway. It's a similar situation to what, well, if we talk about Arkansas, it's almost, they're very similar tales. And with both teams, LSU finally got to fill in with the, it seems like everybody's beating Tennessee now, but they beat Tennessee, who is legit, you know, who's legitimate in the field, not as a protected seat. But, and they didn't have any bad, they didn't have any good, but now they have a lot more good. And the Auburn win was nice, but the Arkansas win is starting to look good as well. And so LSU, I think, is solidly in this field. They have to really stumble. If they take, I even think they could lose the at Georgia game and at Arkansas game as long as they beat Vanderbilt and win a game in the SEC tournament. Well,
I would note
that they still could find their way into the first four.
And I would note also the SEC does have room to add a couple more games in the final week as well. So we could see at least one more game. They did schedule it to the middle of next week, but the last weekend of the season, we could see all these SEC teams getting an extra game added in. Let's take a quick look at the upcoming schedule here, though, in the SEC this week. We have, assuming we get these games in, kind of circle that Ole Miss Missouri game.
After
after that Ole Miss lost to Mississippi State, they really need that, assuming we get this game in.
Yeah, that one's big. And as I know that this is more of a showcase than it is a stakes game, but this Alabama-Arkansas game is going to be a lot of fun. Arkansas really on fire right now. Another team that I had dogged for a lot of the year that's really, really come to life.
And then they get LSU on Saturday after that.
Yeah.
It's a big week for Arkansas.
They're fun to watch. Of all the games, I'm very much looking forward to that one the most.
So we get them in. I'm not going to.
If Zach cancels it, I'm going to be very angry.
let's jump over to the Pac-12 conference, where as we record USC is doing unholy things to Oregon, an Oregon team that we thought was suddenly coming around, especially coming off of their sweep at home against Colorado and Utah. Joby, I know the game hasn't gone final. We could see a miracle second half comeback, but how about this USC team, though?
I thought I had USC figured out.
Yeah.
I thought, Mobley solid inside. You know, they're the class of, I thought they were the class of the Pac-12. They probably still are the class of the Pac-12. But then they go to Tytel's Arizona.
At home.
Look bad.
This was at home. This wasn't on the road.
You're right. It was at home. And they just looked bad. They looked out of their element. And Arizona, if they were eligible, I don't know if they'd be a tournament team right now. They did high NIT teams where I'd have them. And they kind of stubbed their toe. Now, they whip Oregon and they continue doing to Oregon what they have. I think a lot of that is forgotten. And USC will continue to go for it because I'm not impressed with another team we'll likely mention that's tied for first. Win that regular season title and possibly get back to the 4 seed, which is where they were probably a week ago. They're now on the 5, but at least right now for USC, they're floating 4 and 5. They're going to be fine as far as tournament. Andy Enfield's done the right things.
Well, John, what about the team that's tied for them in the standings and gets to play them one more time that I pulled up on the right there? What about the Bruins?
Finally, we get a rivalry that is worth checking out in LA. The Bruins lost 2 games in a row to start February. They turned it around, won 3 in a row since then. As Joby mentioned, a home sweep at the Arizona schools, including a 1-point win over ASU, which I assume we all think is like a tier 5 win at this point. They have a road trip to Utah.
I agree.
They're doing this all without Chris Smith and Jalen Hill. Like, you need to depend on sophomores like forward Jaime Jaquez. Very versatile. 25 points and 3 steals against my Wildcats. I think it's 10 rebounds, 4 assists, and no turnovers against ASU. He does a little of everything. I have them as a 9 seed right now.
Unfortunately, they're not getting those players back is my issue. I agree with your seeding, John, but I think they are precarious. They are not playing well. That their wins don't impress me. the Sun Devil win. Yeah, you're pretty happy to say is the marquee example of that. But yes, I think UCLA, they're a tournament team right now. Don't get me wrong, but they have the potential. If they go to Utah and Colorado, if they go out to the mountain and get swept, have to come home to play USC, who I think is a better team than them, 0-3 is not out of the question. And that puts them not just outside the bubble, but not forgivable without a Pac-12 title, tournament title in their pocket.
David, I pulled up Stanford on the left there because a little bit of news, the NCAA officially decided to designate their games that they were playing in Santa Cruz as neutral court games because they weren't controlling the tickets and things like that, as opposed to home games, which had some, which first of all, changed some of the numbers for the net. Also, it moved their UCLA and their Arizona home wins from tier two up into tier one wins, making the profile look a little bit better now. But it's still a team that is right there squarely on the bubble, is it not?
I would think so. I might be reading into this wrong, but the question is, why did the NCAA decide to do that? And one of the things, as you know, the committee in constant contact all year long, weekly meetings, conference calls, and whatnot. And I'm guessing that it had been pointed out that in their evaluations that Stanford was not playing at home. Like, these are not home games. And I don't know which committee member is in charge of monitoring the A10 or the Pac-12 and reporting on that. But like, after each week saying, well, these aren't home games, well, these aren't home games, they may have asked for them to be switched. Now, I don't know that. I'm supposing that. But the one thing I take from it is that the committee is paying close attention to the circumstances in which these games are being played, not just top 50, top 100. I mean, it's a little more in-depth than that. So it could be the reason they were moved was because the committee asked that they be moved. And I don't have a problem with that. They weren't home games. I mean, you know, let the profiles show that. Answer your question, at least for me personally, it doesn't really change my opinion of what I thought of them.
I think the reason you're right, David. I think the reason the committee did this is because they're on the bubble, because they're being discussed, and because their profile in these committee meetings, these early touches that the committee's doing, they're having these debates at that drill down level, and they wanted to just clarify it. And I think it does improve their profile just because I think the metrics will improve their profile. In the JNG, even after the loss to the Washington State, so even though they lost to a subpar, to be kindly, Washington State.
Yeah, great game.
The two neutral wins, the two wins going to tier one, their ranking went up 3 points at the same, three ranking spots at the same
because
time.
Of the move of the other two teams, not because they lost triple overtime
and the loss. Right. When you combine the loss and triple overtime, but albeit it was moving from an 11 seed to a 10 seed, but it moved them from an 11 seed to 10 seed. Right.
You're talking about the JNG.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, my thing is, I only say that because you're going to get these brain dead bracketologists saying, well, the NCAA like changed the rules. And because of that, the committee took Stanford, whereas had they not done that, they probably don't get it. No, that's not. I said this on Twitter today. The only thing the NET in the quad system really does is arrange how data appears on the page. The committee knew that already. And not only did they know that, I have a strong, strong suspicion the reason it was done was because they asked for it to be done.
Well, and again, look, when you're looking at the UCLA and Arizona wins, top 50 neutral court wins is tier one. They may be tier two wins by the end of the season anyhow.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. UCLA goes on that losing streak that I think is potential. They'll be not top 50.
Yeah. Okay. Quick look at the upcoming schedule here. I don't know what's on and what's not on in the Pac-12. Allegedly, UCLA and USC are going to be in Colorado, which should be good games. Allegedly, or at Stanford. I don't know for certain. We don't know. But let's move on.
This was allegedly going to be a good game tonight between Oregon and USC.
The fewest number of cancellations to their credit of the Power Five has been the Pac-12 playing an amazing like 89% or something.
Let's talk very briefly about the number one team of the nation, John. The Zags didn't have much problem this week with St. Mary's and San Diego, did they?
They're becoming an afterthought with a pair of easy home wins last week to improve to 22-0. They're favored by over 25 a game in each of their final two home games this week. They're shooting unbelievable inside the arc, 64.5%, number one in the entire nation. I think they're going to end up sweeping every single conference award. My picks, as a preview, Player of the Year, Drew Timmy in the conference, Rookie of the Year and Defensive Player of the Year, Jalen Suggs, Sixth Man of the Year, Andrew Nemhard, Coach of the Year, Mark Few. And if BYU stubs its toe in the conference tourney, which I don't think it will, but if it does, they're going to go six straight weeks without facing a top 75 team. So my only concern is that they're not going to have the experience recently of playing a tournament caliber team.
Yeah, they will get two more home games than the West Coast Conference, assuming that they play in it. There's been a little bit of rumblings, but assuming they played it, it would only be two games. They'd get a bye into the semifinals. So they'd play one more of these other teams here and then possibly BYU, but BYU would also get a bye to the semifinals if BYU slips up against a Loyola Marymount or a Santa Clara or a Pacific or a St. Mary's or whatever. That could change things around.
I like this BYU team, not to beat Gonzaga, but a good 7, 8, 9 seed range. They're having a good year.
Yeah, BYU gets St. Mary's on Saturday, and if somewhat interesting game. St. Mary's is a little bit of life, although they've been losing some inexplicable games as well. And they get San Fran before that. The Zags have Santa Clara and Loyola Marymount at home to end. And this will be the end of the regular season, what you see in the West Coast Conference, at least what you see on the screen there. The American. Joby.
As we mentioned in our cattiness, Wichita State.
About that game at the Wichita State's game against Houston?
You know, it didn't take me as much of a surprise because I love how this Houston team's structured. I really do. I love the tough defense. I love the long length. I think Samson has a lot of, they have a lot of foundation back from last year's team that was also equally good, but they're not playing their best ball. As evidence, the East Carolina game should have been the real ding, ding, ding harbinger that should have sent off warning bells. So a Wichita State team who's playing solid, after the whole Greg Marshall mess at the beginning of the year, they've steadied the ship, and Wichita State right now is a tournament team. I mean, I can't believe it. You know, we laughed at John Stalica wanting to bring up Wichita State in December. They're in the tournament right now. Now, they might not hold it that, you know, they go out and they stub their toe 2 out of 3 on this final group. Those are some bad losses.
Those are really bad.
If the selection committee sat down and said, give me your 40, well, they get maybe the automatic bid. But if Houston were to win the automatic bid, this team would be among the 37 at large.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. This Wichita State team will have Houston. David, I've got a little breaking news here on Houston. They added a game coming up on Thursday night, a huge one.
Western look Kentucky. At that one!
I love the fact they got this game added. I hope it doesn't suddenly get canceled at the last minute, but Western Kentucky, a very, very, very good team. I think we're going to get it's a great test for Western Kentucky. It would be a resume defining. Well, they already beat Alabama, but a second resume defining win for Western Kentucky.
Yeah, and they kind of
Houston. It will help make up for the East Carolina, Tulsa, Wichita State. This will be probably end up being it'll be a tier two win at least.
You mean South Florida doesn't make up for it?
Yeah.
But Western Kentucky could have really used those games and wins at North Texas too to get that net inflated a little bit, but. Whatever.
But John, their last game, Houston, they got one more road game at Memphis. Memphis, a team that should have played Houston twice. They first game got canceled because they got shut down. How about the Tigers? Do they still have a shot at getting in this thing?
They do, although you see what happens when a team from this conference plays Western Kentucky. It doesn't always go so good as it did last November. Very deceptive resume, though. I agree that this is probably a two-team conference with Houston and Wichita. Tigers are not going away just yet. 7-2 since Christmas. The only two losses on the road by a combined 3 points. They have three straight teams against who are outside the top 100 before Houston comes to town to finish the regular season next month. The only thing worse than their opponent's 27% shooting behind the arc is their own 62% shooting at the free throw line. They really need to clean that up. And they've been getting it done with Virginia Tech transfer Landers Nolly. During the three-game winning streak, 17 points, 5 boards a game. little concerned about his three turnovers a game, a bit high, but if he can hold on to the ball, I think this team could create some problems.
And the other thing about Memphis, 9-1 at home. So, I mean, Houston is not just going to waltz in there and come out with a win. They can win. They probably will win, but they better not overlook them.
Absolutely. The upcoming schedule here, I should be coming up on the screen in half a second here in the American. We mentioned the big one, the Wichita State game against – I'm sorry, the Western Kentucky game at Houston. Wichita State got SMU at home on Sunday in a tough SMU team that they really got to find a way to win that game. They can't afford to slip up against the SMU team with that would probably be somewhere in the NIT if we at least had a full NIT field this year. I don't know if they're necessarily going to make with a shortened NIT field, but
Right now they would be a 4 seed in NIT, and they're only 4 seeds.
Yeah, there's only 16 teams. So they're on the NIT bubble. The Mountain West Conference, though, is conference we start off the show with that, talking about Colorado State. But John, how about Boise State, who we had Utah State kind of sitting there at the top of the conference, despite the fact that they're Fraser is weaker than anybody else. Boise took care of that this week.
We've talked about some teams like Kentucky and Iowa who've had really good weeks. Hard to find a better week than Boise State, a home sweep of Utah State. They do head to San Diego State for a huge doubleheader this week. We'll see what they're made of. And senior leadership, Derek Alston has been amazing the past three games. 25 points a game, 12 of 21 behind the three-point line, 16 of 18 at the free throw line. I have them as a 10 seed right now.
Yes, David.
I really like this Boise team. It seems like everybody else likes a team a lot more than I do, and that's this San Diego State team, who I think is good. I don't think they're anywhere. Yeah, pull them up. Like pull them both up. Looking at them side to side. Yeah.
Go ahead.
So, one of the things you'll notice about San Diego State's profile as soon as it populates on here is that there just really isn't anything on there. You know, a home win against UCLA, not the best road team. I would argue Colorado State at home is maybe a little better, but not by – there just isn't anything there. And you go to Boise, you know, they've won at BYU. They've won at Colorado State. They had the sweep of Utah State. They went up against a front-range team and won on the road. You don't just do that. I mean, we've all covered that. But, I mean, they're in the same conference. It'll sort itself out. They're about to play each other, but – what is it that's making the voters and the bracketologists and even everybody else except me at Hoops HD lose their minds over this San Diego State team? And for what it's worth, I was big on them coming into the year. I said that I thought they had a shot at a protected seat.
I would note again, this is another conference that could add more games in after what you see on the screen there. There is another week. But Joby, what a series coming up, this Boise State San Diego State game.
And David, what they like about them is the recency bias of last year. And now they're ranked. And I don't know, they shouldn't be ranked. I mean, once again, I'll refer back to the J&G. It's 47. That means inside the bubble, that means first four.
I think that's about right.
Where you are on them, I think they're a first four level team. But they go out, they beat Boise, even though it's in San Diego. You sweep Boise, I think they're in this field, assuming no other further games and no Air Force like loss,
but Joby, I'd say a split's all they need, really, because it gives them one piece of the top there.
But Joby, here's my
argument on San Diego State. You've got so many teams on the bubble with such garbage at the bottom, the bad losses.
Right.
You've got a clean loss column here in San Diego.
Well, San Diego State would have to. Very good point, Chad. But that means in the Mountain West tournament, they better lose if they don't win it, obviously. But if they better lose to Boise, Colorado State, or Utah State,
I think not Boise, use Colorado
the UNLV.
State.
They can't do a UNLV thing. They can't do a UNLV thing.
They can't Nevada do a Nevada thing. Yeah.
I mean, which are realistic losses if they don't bring their A game. But you know what? I will say this, and this is what I do like about San Diego State and what makes Chad so confident in that statement. When they play those teams that aren't in that group of Boise, et cetera, they don't just beat them, they obliterate them. And that is why, you know, you see Ken Pomeroy have them 19th, because their efficiency numbers, particularly in games they're favored, they will, you know, they're a they're a delight for people who want to bet on big spreads, and just as enough.
The upcoming schedule, we mentioned the Boise State San Diego State game. We actually mentioned earlier that Colorado State's going to be hosting Air Force in some Front Range action. If you look for good games, and I don't think there are NCAA tournament implicated games, but Nevada at Utah State should be a good series as well this week.
Yeah, I would say that.
Two teams that are right there. Let's one more full conference to go through here.
Very quickly.
Over into the Atlantic 10, which is...
Look at who's in first place. Good grief, look at the first place. My goodness.
My win percentage, UMass has now moved into first place. Only 11 games compared to everybody else who's played a lot more. They've got a 108 net. But the big thing, you know, we looked at VCU this week. It's a huge home win over Richmond. Turns around and loses at home to friggin' George Mason Joby. I mean,
a game that was delayed by a day due to the snow, and I'm sure that's what threw everything off. Oh my God, what a!
Yeah. So Richmond's out because they lose to VCU. VCU's out because they lose to George Mason.
I mean, this is a mess. All right, who knows? So we just came from the Mountain West. I think right now you can make a serious case. Three teams, if it were held today. Colorado State, Boise State, and San Diego State are all in. The exact opposite is you're seeing a bunch of teams just out in the A-10. You know, the Bonnies and VCU are fighting for one at-large spot, and so maybe they'll get to, if someone wins and then the best of the Bonnies and VCU gets an at-large. That's how this conference is going
Pull up the Bonnies and VCU, Chad.
Okay, I'll pull them up quick, and then because we do want to keep
the Bonnies. The Bonnies actually have, the numbers-wise, not bad. They can't afford losses because one of their most attractive features is that loss column. The 11-3 is a nice little thing.
They have the clean loss column, no tier three losses, wining record against the top two quadrants, which is a good
indicator. And they beat their competitor for the space in the conference for now in VCU. I know it was at home, but that is, you know, if you're the current committee, I know teams get bids, not conferences, but often it comes down to two teams in the same conference with similar profiles. If I'm a committee member, that head-to-head win might just be enough for me.
Well, yeah, St. Bonaventure, kind of hard to evaluate here. While they do have the clean sleep, they also haven't played enough. I mean, they basically played half of a season. And the win at Richmond is good, but that's really the only team.
And I'll tell you what, though, David, they actually get three games this week because they got to be done by I think the last A-10 games actually be Monday the 1st. The A-10 tournament is going to start Wednesday, March 3rd.
And that didn't do them any favors either. I think they would have benefited from more games. But, like, you know, in looking at it, essentially it's an all A-10 profile. And, you know, they've won at Richmond, who's not in the field, and they've, you know, won at home against VCU, who might be on the bubble, but, you know, you beat them at home. Does it top out high enough to say that, hey, this team's safely in, even though they haven't gotten all the losses?
They're going to have to pick up another decent win in the A-10 tournament, and they're going to have to win these last three games. One of them is a home game against Dayton, Tytel. What about Dayton getting the sweep in the Arch Baron Cup this week?
Our favorite. We talked about some of the other conferences. Mountain West, there's only like four or so teams can win it. American, 2-3. I think there's a good chance, a good argument to be made that any of the top seven teams in this conference can win this conference tourney.
They can.
Team started out very rough. 2.2 overtime road loss at Rhode Island. Finished the week strong by destroying St. Louis at home by 23. Very winnable game at St. Joe's Wednesday before the Bonnies on next Monday. They've been very fortunate all year. Their opponents are shooting 63% at the line, second worst in the country. But it was freshman Zimi Wokeji. Entered the week, he only scored 2 points combined in three February games. Exploded for 29 points and 9 boards in the loss to the Rams. Unbelievable performance.
Hey, John, I agree a lot with what you said, but I'm going to take issue with one thing. It's only six of the top seven, and ironically, the one that I don't think can.
Number one.
First place team.
I was going to say the same exact thing, Joby. You stole my thunder. there's the upcoming schedule. I also want to circle this game here tomorrow night, St. Louis at VCU, assuming we get that game.
Big. big one. Yeah.
And Richmond at St. Louis on Friday.
Just take big games. Knock the Minutemen out. Just get, please, Richmond, take care of business. Please.
yeah. But and I'm not sure how the A-10s even going to see the conference tournament if they go by a method other than winning percentage. UMass, even if it ended right now, might not even be the one seed. We have one other team, David, I want to discuss real quick here. They are in the top 25. Loyola Chicago, still up there. They got the win on last week on Wednesday against Valpo. I believe that's the only game they technically played in the
league. Yeah.
Barely.
This week.
And still,
they struggled in that one, yes.
Yeah, it does. And if you look at their remaining schedule, I think that they'll be in the field and maybe even in on the first ballot if they went out through the regular season. They might need to avoid a loss in the quarterfinals because they'll be playing such a weak team. But given where this team is in the rankings and given like what they've done on the road, I just think that this team is not only in, but rather safely in if they beat the Salukis.
Yeah, they got two games with Southern Illinois coming up this weekend before Arch Madness next week. We mentioned Drake very quickly, who struggled but got a win today against Valpo. But
personnel issues with them, losing not one but two key players. Yeah,
Tank Campbell is out but might be coming back, but they just lost their number two scorer now, Roman Penn, who's done for the season. So, Drake, who is second of these two teams in the Missouri Valley, is going to really need to struggle to find a way to win these games in Bradley and at least get one in Arch Madness, I think.
Yeah. Ironically, Loyola Chicago needs Drake to play well. It doesn't need to, but they need each other.
Well, they lift each other up. Drake being at 33 and it being a road win, I don't think Loyola Chicago loses a tier. It would be almost impossible for that game to fall out of tier one at this point, but it'll definitely make it a worse looking win.
Well, all of a sudden you can't say, which I think the committee does look at, who'd you beat in the field. Drake stumbles at Bradley, they're no longer in the field at that point, and so that hurts Loyola Chicago, not enough to kick them out, but probably a seed line or two gets affected at least.
Let's go ahead and pull this down here, and Joby, I'm going to move over to final thoughts, and let me start with you because you're on the screen right now.
Okay, there we go. One final thought. I'm just going to go back to my not a blind resume, but there's a category in the J&G, a very big, and I just actually referenced it, so it's a good segue. One of the elements I believe that the NCAA Tournament Selection Committee takes into account is weighted tourney wins against teams in the tournament. And so the J&G looks and tries to analyze that. And there's no surprise that four of the top five teams in that category, if you look at just that category within the J&G, four of the top five teams are Gonzaga, Baylor, Michigan, Ohio State. Okay, they're the consensus number ones. Maybe Illinois, you know, you can debate with Ohio State, but that's four of the five. Can anyone tell me the fifth team? Hint, they've beaten a two seed, a three seed, a seven seed, an eight seed, a nine seed, a 10 seed, several teams in the high NIT field. They've only lost to a three, a four, a seven, and two teams that are constantly mentioned as maybe not the first four out, but the next four out.
Is it Illinois?
And yet that team is rated by Bracket Matrix at a seven seed. Yes, I'm going back to the same thing I've said over and over again. Look at Clemson's resume. Yeah. Look at Clemson's resume. I know. It is a good resume. And when I am dead serious, I think the bracketologists have missed this one. I think the committee is going to look at the resume. I think they will be
the
shock team when they want to come out with a five, or if they go on a little run, a protected seed, dare I say, when they come out, everybody's going, why is Clemson that? And it's because you beat Alabama, you beat Florida State, you beat Maryland, you beat Purdue. I mean, it is a good resume.
Yeah, so. There it is right there, that Clemson resume.
More than – if they could double their number of road wins this week at Wake Forest, it would be
– Yeah. But I mean, North Carolina, good team. I mean, it's like Louisville's in the tournament. I mean,
they have a couple – they have the Alabama and Purdue being neutral court wins is very good still.
Yeah,
and a lot of times here with such committee members, they talk about road neutral record, not road record. I hear that a lot from them.
Yeah.
But let's go ahead and pull this back down. And John, let me move to you for your thought.
So I want to focus on 7 p.m. this coming Thursday night. The game, of course, to watch is going to be Iowa-Michigan. The game I'm going to be happiest to actually see tip off is number 12 seed Robert Morris at number 5 seed Detroit Mercy in the Horizon first round. Last March, we saw most conference tournaments get canceled, then the NCAA tournament got canceled. I was not sure what was going to happen in 2021. I'm sure it's going to look and feel a lot different than normal. The smartest thing the Horizon did, they have four magic words, bracket subject to change, which I hope everybody does for their own bracket. The good news, it looks like we're less than 3 days away from postseason basketball.
Absolutely. We're very excited. And we've got a lot of content coming up on the website here. We are going to just be every day that there is conference tournament play, we are going to be doing a podcast that night after the games.
Yeah.
Our championship week
video notebook for 2.5 weeks.
It'll start with the lead in on Wednesday night during our Under the Radar show into the Horizon. And then beginning Thursday night, I think there's one day off we have in there when there's no games. But David, you want to finish out the show?
Yeah, getting down to the end here, and I know that this kind of goes without saying, but it hasn't been a normal season. I don't think it's going to be a normal postseason or a normal selection process. I know that every year there's unique challenges and unique things for the committee to consider, but never have there been this many irregularities and unique incidents and just, you know, anomalies that we're going to see this year. I really don't know how it's going to shake out, what's going to be favored, what isn't. What I'm certain of is that nobody's going to be happy when they see the finished product of who was selected and who got in and who was left out. They never are anyway, but they're certainly not going to be this year. It's not a task that I envy them. We're doing our own brackets, you know, each week, and we're going to have our mock committee. And I don't know how that's even going to come out. I don't know what ours is going to look like, but, I don't know. I'm glad that we had the season. I'm looking forward to the postseason, but I'm very much looking forward to this being the last season that we ever, ever have like this.
Oh, please never again. Never.
Yeah.
Again. But on that note, I do want to thank everybody for joining us. As I mentioned, we'll be back Wednesday night with Under the Radar. We will do a bracket rundown show in addition to our championship week notebooks. We'll be doing that on Thursday. We'll have a few more of those as the rest of the week goes, rest of the season goes. We'll have another Hoops HD report next Monday night as well. But on behalf of David Griggs, Joby Fortson, John Titel, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. Talk to you again real soon.